Some excellent advice is in the final verse read by Micah. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 15, Solomon, in talking about evil, said, avoid it. Then he followed it up with this statement. He says, pass not by it. Statement number 3 is turn from it. Statement number 4 is pass on. What Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 15, is something along the lines of what Paul said in Titus chapter 1, verse 7, and 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3. We've been talking about the qualities associated with elders, and as we move down to this list of characteristics, we find that in 1 Timothy 3, verse 3, Titus chapter 1, verse 7, Paul said, American Standard Translation, an elder is not to be a brawler. The King James translation, if you have that version, it expresses in what might seem to be an odd way, but it says that a man is not to be given to wine. Now, these two translations are both based on a single term, a single word, that occurs in Titus 1, verse 7 and 1 Timothy 3, 3. And outside of these two places, this word is not used any other place, any other time in the New Testament. If we were to look at this word that's translated, not given to wine, or this word that's translated, no brawler, we would find in the original text that this word is a compound word. Now in English, we sometimes, if it's been a little while since we've been in school, in English we have some compound words. It's not always the case, but many times as we look at a compound word, we have at least two words that form that one word, or maybe there are three or more words. But that compound word, if we look at the individual words that form that word, we sometimes are able to look at those individual words and figure out or have a good understanding of what's meant by the terms used. For example, earring. Earring is a compound word. As we look at the two parts of earring, we have a location of the body of the ear. And when we think about the second part of that compound word, ring, we have something that is either in the ear or we have something that is on the ear. Another compound word would be backache. When someone says they have a backache, they have a pain that is associated with their back. Other compound words in English would be bedroom. Well, that is a pretty good explanation for what we're describing. Or when someone talks about their birthday, that is a compound word. Someone refers to their goldfish, also a compound word. Or a person says there is a thunderstorm, compound word. Someone says I want a pancake, compound word. Someone says I want some seafood, another compound word. Compound words are really neat words. We have them throughout the English language. They're helpful because they express so much information. But in the Bible, we also have some compound words. Sometimes in the Bible, those compound words actually take the form of a name. You may know, you may have come here this morning with the understanding that Bethlehem means house of bread. It means that because Bethlehem is a compound name. Two Hebrew words are used to form Bethlehem. The first part of the word means house. The second part of that word means bread. Well, having said all that, we're now ready to make a point from 1 Timothy 3, 3 and Titus chapter 1, verse 7. This word that is translated no brawler, ASV, or this word which is translated, King James translation, not given to wine, is a compound word. If we break down this word, the first part of the compound word means beside. Now, I think everybody here knows what it means to be beside something. In life, it is possible to be beside all kinds of things. A person might be beside a car, that is, they're standing beside a vehicle. Or, in another set of circumstances, a person might be beside another individual. We have some of that taking place here this morning. If we're at the zoo, we might be standing beside an animal so we can have a picture taken with that stuffed creature. So we have this compound word, first half means beside. The second half of the compound word in 1 Timothy 3, 3 and Titus chapter 1, verse 7 is the word which is translated wine in the New Testament. So when we put this compound word together, beside wine, that's the idea that's being expressed by this word, which is sometimes translated brawler or not given to wine. Now everybody should be able to agree on that much. Beside wine is a quality that is not supposed to be associated with men who are possible elders or serving as elders. But as we look at that meaning from this compound word, what does that mean? What does it mean for a man to be beside wine? This is the question that we want to give consideration to today. And as we start this study, it might be good to give a moment of consideration to something that I think there is universal agreement on. The word that is translated wine here, oinos, is a word which covers a broad range of beverages. For example, wine, if you look at that word, it describes product of the grape. It could describe an alcoholic product, or it's possible for the word to describe, and a non-alcoholic product would be grape juice, or it could describe something that would be intoxicating. I think there's also universal agreement on this. Anyone who spends sufficient time beside wine and they partake enough of that, there's going to be an excellent chance that they become intoxicated. I think, too, each would agree that the idea of intoxication is another way of describing drunkenness. I believe further that each person who is a Christian believes that intoxication or drunkenness is a sin. So being beside wine and drinking enough of it, as a person is beside the bottle, if you will, would lead to a state where God says, I am not pleased by that activity. I think each person who has named the name of Christ would be consistent or in harmony with those conclusions, but that is about where agreement ends. There have been some Christians, some well-meaning people who have said, well, our understanding of the passage is that a man might be beside the bottle, so to speak, beside the wine, but he does not become intoxicated. In other words, that would be described as moderate drinking, or some people refer to it as social drinking. I want to not make this about social drinking this morning, or any kind of drinking, but to think about the quality as it's described in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3. And I want to see if we can explore this, looking at it from three different circumstances, to see if we can reason through this in a biblical way. I'd like us to, first of all, imagine a congregation that needs to either establish an eldership, or they have elders and they need to add a couple of men to the eldership. In this congregation, there are two men who are put forward to serve as possible elders. In this case, each of these men happens to be a business owner in the local community. One man who is put forward to serve as an elder, he, as far as his business, he is someone who sells auto parts. You can go down and find parts for your car. There is another fella in the congregation, and he owns and operates a liquor store. Would we view these two men, the fellow who is selling auto parts, would we view him in the exact same way as the brother, a potential elder, who sells booze or liquor at a store? I think that's a question that deserves good consideration. And then after we sort of frame that in our mind and begin to consider and answer that question, let's take it a step further. Let's say for the sake of argument that both men offer a quote-unquote church discount. The auto parts owner says, if you come to my store, I'm going to give you, if you are someone who brings in a church bulletin, or if you are someone who worships in a particular place, I'm going to give you a 10% discount on any order that you place. The Christian businessman who sells liquor says, when it comes to his store, if you are a person who believes in the Bible, if you bring me a church bulletin, if you profess to be a Christian, if I know you as someone who worships, I will also give you a discount on all the liquor that you buy at my store. Would we be okay with having both men serve as elders? As we think about the man, the Christian, who is involved with the liquor store activity, remember, and this would also apply for the auto parts store, remember back there in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, that Paul said if a man is going to serve as an elder, he needs to be blameless. That is, there should be no glaring faults. It doesn't mean that he's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that he's going to be sinless. But there should be nothing about his life that says, you know, that just, that fellow should not be an elder. As we think about this first scenario, we can probe the matter a little more deeply. What does the word brawler mean in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, Titus chapter 1, verse 7? Well, we've noted that it's a compound word, and it literally means beside the wine. Would a liquor store owner, who is an elder or serving as an elder, possibly, be someone who is beside the wine, beside the bottle? Even if he doesn't drink, would that man be beside the bottle if we look at these words literally? Unless that man never goes in a store, unless that man has someone else doing everything associated with that store, it seems to me that we would have to say that he is at times beside the bottle, literally speaking, or beside the wine. Now, some might say, well, yeah, but that illustration, that is just so unlikely, it's so improbable, I'm just not comfortable making that argument. Can we look at something which is perhaps a little more realistic? Okay. Let's change things up a bit. Let's suppose, to make things more common, let's suppose that there is a man who is either serving as an elder or a man who is a potential elder, and he is invited to a gathering, a function, where he believes he is almost 100% certain that there is going to be significant drinking at this place. Maybe he's been invited to a 50th year class reunion, and he knows that alcohol is going to be flowing freely. Or maybe it is towards the end of the year, it's November, it's December, and at his workplace, there's always that annual party. And as he goes to the Christmas party, he knows that once again, there's going to be a lot of free alcohol there. The elder goes. And as the elder or the potential elder goes, he realizes that he has the opportunity to be beside the wine, beside the alcohol. What should an elder do when he's put in that position? Should he attend the gathering, or should he attend and try to avoid being beside the wine? Well, the Bible specifically says that an elder is not to be a brawler. But that is about as far as it goes. There are no additional instructions. As I said, this word is used just twice in the New Testament, so our information about it is quite limited as far as looking at other passages. But this is a quality that is associated with elders, so how should a man who is an elder or might serve as an elder fulfill this instruction which was given to both Timothy and to Titus? Well, in one of our previous studies concerning elders, we pointed out how the Bible says these people who serve in this way, they need to use common sense. An elder needs to be someone who is able to exercise good judgment. Now, bearing that quality in mind, good sense, good judgment, how do we apply that to this quality in 1 Timothy 3:3 and Titus chapter 1, verse 7? If this question were asked in a Bible class, somebody might raise their hand and say, "I know, he just shouldn't go." Well, certainly that might be one option, and maybe in some cases that would be the best option, to simply stay home. Someone might believe that a Christian should never go to a place where alcohol is served, and they just eliminate any of the chance as far as being beside the wine. Well, this chance or this opportunity is certainly something that a person might choose, but it is by no means the only one. Declining to attend is not the only option, as far as I can tell from the Bible, for an elder. Throughout the Bible, we find the word world. Again and again, throughout the scriptures, John and Jesus and other writers, they talk about the world. Before I became a preacher, I can remember going to a good friend who's been preaching for a number of years, and I said to him, "I want you to help me find a verse in the Bible." He said, "Well, okay, what is it?" And I said, "I want you to help me find that verse which says that Christians are in the world, but they're not of the world." And he said, "Brad, I don't think it's in there." And I said, "I know it's in there. I've read it." And he said, "Well, you go home and you do some studying, and if you can find it, you come back and tell me." I went home, I studied, I searched, I looked, and I couldn't find it. And over the years, I've not been able to find it. I even searched for it again this last week, and it's still not there. I really wanted a Bible verse which says that we are in the world, but not of the world. And if I could include a Bible verse, that would be it. But, you know, even though that specific sentiment is not there, those specific words are not there, the general idea is. As we look at the scriptures, God tells us that we, Christians, are not to simply withdraw from society. God says you're separate, you're distinct, you're not like the world, don't behave like the world. But there is no authority to simply pull back, withdraw, and not associate with people or avoid all events associated with the world. So an elder might, because he is a part of the world, be involved with a situation where there is alcohol that may be freely available. And that may or may not be a good choice, but there may be some times where that takes place. For more than 25 years, I've been attending a preacher's meeting in another community. For a quarter of a century, area preachers have been meeting at the same location, and that is a Pizza Hut in a neighboring community. If you've not been in Pizza Hut in a while, let me tell you that this is an establishment that serves beer. I don't think they, for the most part, serve hard liquor, but they do serve beer. And I'll also tell you that for that quarter of a century, the people who attend that meeting, they are not beside the bottle. They're not beside the mug, so to speak, when it comes to Titus 1, verse 7, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3. The preachers who attend that meeting, they do not drink beer. They do not seek out the company of those who seek beer as they're there. They do not ask for their soft drinks to be delivered in a beer mug. So there are some ways where we may be in the proximity of alcohol being served, but we are not beside the wine, so to speak. Now, thus far, we've looked at the no-brawler quality from a couple of different perspectives. That is, an elder owning a liquor store and an elder being in a set of circumstances where alcohol is being served. Let's turn our attention to something else that a person might experience. What about a man thinking about the quality, not given to wine, or no brawler, what about a man when it comes to his home? I know enough about the people here to say that there were some of us who grew up in a home where there was a liquor cabinet. Or maybe we grew up in a home where on a fairly regular basis, alcohol, whether that was beer or something that was would be classified as hard liquor, there was something along those lines that was on the table when a meal was served. Or maybe we grew up in a home where there was a basement. And in that basement, there was a bar. And that bar was well stocked with all kinds of things. Many live their lives, so alcohol is almost always close at hand, maybe in the refrigerator, maybe in the cabinet, maybe downstairs. As we look at life, we find that for many, liquor is closer to them than their car keys. Since becoming a Christian, I have heard all kinds of ideas about alcohol. Sometimes it's in a Bible class, sometimes it's in a private discussion. It comes from a lot of different sources, sometimes it's written material. I've been a Christian long enough to know that there are some brethren who have argued for alcohol consumption in moderation. I've also been a Christian long enough to know that there are some brethren who have argued against things like cough syrup because you have alcohol in some products that are designed to be used in a medicinal way. But at the end of the day, when it comes to alcohol, I think every Christian can at least agree on this much. Being beside wine, 1 Timothy 3:3, and Titus chapter 2, verse 7, and I think we have to conclude that we're dealing with some kind of alcohol here instead of iced tea. Paul says that this is a no-no for elders. I don't know how you can get around that. If a man is beside the wine, however we might define that quality, he is not the kind of person who God wants to have serve as an elder. As I was going through this material, someone happened to send out some information that I usually get Monday through Friday, and this time he included what I thought was a neat little illustration to include in this lesson. The illustration involved several people who were longtime friends, and they had not seen each other for many, many years. So one person that was part of that group decided to initiate a gathering, decided to play host and have all the friends get together. And at this gathering, the invitation also said, any children that you have, they're also welcome at this gathering. On the designated day, at the proper time, everybody came together with their kids and they were having a good time. The meal was served. And as that meal was taking place, the host, the initiator of that event, noticed that there was a four-year-old girl that just couldn't keep her eyes off of him. I mean, she was just staring holes through him. It didn't take long for the initiator of this gathering to become a bit paranoid, so he started to check his spots for stains and thought maybe that there was food in his face, so he wipes his face and then thought, well, maybe my hair, because she was still staring, maybe my hair is out of whack, so he's checking his hair and trying to pat it down. Girl continued to stare. And finally, the fellow, he was so paranoid, he got tired of her staring, and he said, tell me why you're staring at me. The young child promptly replied with these words, I'm waiting to see how you drink like a fish. Now, I like that, especially since I wanted a good illustration for today's sermon, but I like that. You see, the host was someone who was known as a person who drank like a fish, and that stuck with a four-year-old. Christians may have different ideas on the qualities in 1 Timothy 3:3 and Titus chapter 1, verse 7. Some might argue that Paul gave that qualification because alcohol can destroy or negatively affect a person's reputation. We see that demonstrated by that four-year-old. Another could argue that alcohol, depending on how much is ingested, could impair an elder's judgment. So, perhaps for that reason, Paul said, don't be beside it. Another person who's coming at this from a different perspective might say, well, alcohol, as I think about it, it has been an addictive substance for me. It can become habit forming. And if an elder is not beside the bottle, then he's never going to become addicted to it. But at the end of the day, the quality described in 1 Timothy 3:3 and Titus chapter 1, verse 7, being beside the bottle, means what it says. And with this quality, we come to a point which has been mentioned several times in conjunction with elders. I have pointed out, and we'll probably look at this a few more times, but with the exception of the qualities related to children and having a wife, virtually every characteristic for elders can be applied, and I would argue is applicable, to every person who is a Christian. It's true. It's absolutely true that elders are not to be beside the wine, or I might say beside the bottle. But you know, every Christian also needs to apply this characteristic. And it is a characteristic when we think about not being beside the wine, beside the bottle, my terminology. It is something that needs to begin with the young people. If you look at young people, especially in today's culture, you're going to find typically that they have an opportunity to be beside the wine at a very early age in life. Sometimes it's a young person at the age of 2 or 1. Maybe by the age of 5, they've been given a beer because someone thinks it's funny. The opportunity to be close to alcohol, if you are a young person, I hope not. But the opportunity to be beside the bottle, so to speak, may occur in your home. It may occur in the basement of a friend's house. It might occur in a public place, such as a park. It might be that you're over at a friend's house, perhaps you're parked in a car somewhere. Maybe it's going to be offered to you for the first time at some type of party with friends or maybe even strangers. The devil has won a lot of people by convincing them, get close, get beside the wine. The next time someone encourages you to get beside the bottle, or you have an opportunity to do that, think carefully about whose will that is. Does God want us by the bottle, or is that a place, is that a position where the devil wants us to be? Some items are literally best left alone. Even if we can argue that they're right, some things, wisdom, good judgment, common sense say, let's just not be involved with that. And we see that being reflected as we look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. God wants the best for us. He wants the best for his people. So he's given characteristics, qualities for the men who serve as elders. And he's given us his word so that we know how to live as we go through life in a way that pleases him and a way that's best for us. Are we trying to follow that will, that revealed information as a Christian? We hope so. We hope that you're on the path. You have believed in Christ. You've looked at the ways of the world, and you've said, that's not the best way to live. I'm going to repent. I'm going to do a 180-degree turn. I'm going to recognize, I'm going to acknowledge that Christ is the Son of God, my Savior. And to be joined to him, I'm going to be baptized into a spiritual body, Galatians 3:27, the church, and have every single sin forgiven, Acts 2:38. After I've been freed from my sins, I'm going to rise up to walk in the newness of life, Romans 6, verse 4. Not doing, turning from the kinds of things I did in the past. And I'm going to be headed towards that place called heaven. This morning, are we right with God because we become a Christian? And we're right with God because we're faithful, following his word. We can be beside all kinds of bad and wrong things in life. God says that's not the right place to be. If we can help you get beside what's right, Christ, his will, spiritual things, we let us know how we can aid you as we stand and sing the selected song.